Sometimes the clouds hang low, and I'd like to see them go. Then I ask this question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me, although I cannot see. So I just say thank you, Lord, I can't complain. God is so good to me, He is so good to me, more than this world can be. He's so good to me. His Spirit came to me and gave me liberty. God is so good to me, I can't complain. Well, I've had bad times, and I've had hills to climb, and I've had sad times, sometimes a weary mind. But when I look about and think these things all out, all of the good times outweigh the bad times, I can't complain. For my God, He is good to me. He is so good to me, more than this world can be. He's so good to me. Oh, His Spirit came to me, and He gave me liberty. God is so good to me, I can't complain. Yes, my God, He is good to me. He is so good to me, more than this world can be. He's so good to me. Yes, His Spirit came to me, and He gave me His liberty. God is so good to me, I can't complain. Yes, God is so good to me, His Spirit, it came to me. He came and He set me free, I can't complain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Today, for the reading of the Word of God, into the 25th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to read, two or three other places and quote some. Now, we don't have anything written down as to far as letting you follow scripture that's written down. We don't have that. We're just going to try to go as maybe the Lord would lead. Amen. And see what God would have for us. But let's pray before reading. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that You'll just move, God, upon the reading of Your Word, and upon us, Lord, and upon the hearers, Lord. Oh, God, as we're down here at the end time, Lord, All signs point that way. And Lord, we know that you haven't forsook us. You're leading us. And Lord, we've come into that you've ordained for us in this end time, and we appreciate it. Now bless us all together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to be reading here in Matthew's 25, and I want to read down through verse 13. But I want to read verse 10 first and get a text message there. And I want to take a text. We got married while they were gone. We got married while they were gone. Now, if you'll wonder about the title, why the title like that, we start off from the very book of Genesis. First start with, has to do with man and woman. Man and woman. And ties out the church and Christ. Amen. All the way through. So, when we get in the New Testament here, and we begin to talk about the bride of Christ, amen, it still types out all the way through till 19th chapter of the book of Acts, not the book of Acts, the book of Revelation. It says, his wife has made herself ready. So you'll understand why we're getting these types. But here's something Jesus was telling them about the marriage and how it would take place. And he began to let us see a broader scope of this than than Paul did or some of the others. In that, he let us know that there would be some that would go into the marriage and be married to the Lamb, become the wife, the church, one with Him, see. But there would be others that was called foolish virgins. See, now foolish virgins are those that love the Lord to a point and that the Lord had saved them without doubt. But there's one thing to be saved, but there's one thing for Him to be your Lord and Master. See, amen. He can be your Savior. He can be your Savior, but is He your Lord? See, amen. Most all people that's saved in the religious way, they to some degree walk according to the written word, and they give certain honors to the word, and they're saved, but he's not their Lord, because Jesus said, if you call me Lord and Master, then said, do what I say, see. So that puts us in a realm where that we look to the Word, what do the Word say? We let the Word and the Holy Spirit direct our lives rather than the church system, see. How many knows it? Amen. A church system can't direct your life because they'll only tell you what someone told them 400 or 500 years ago, see. And they'll go back to their founders. It's all right if you go back far enough. Amen. Go back to Acts 2:38 where baptism in the name of Jesus came and the Holy Ghost given. Go back to Cornelius' house where the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentile. Hallelujah. And get back there and not get back to when the Baptist started, the Methodist started, Church of God started, or even the Catholic Church. They started in about 325 AD there at Nicaea, and they formulated the thing of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because they couldn't understand how God could be one, yet He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Ghost, yet not three gods. So they made the story on that. But here at the end time, He said it's going to be different. He said we're getting to a place where the kingdom of God's going to be like 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. He gives us 2 distinct groups here. And I'm going to read about that. But my text verse was verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. See, we got married while they were gone. See? Amen. While they're out seeking the oil or something, there's a marriage taking place. Amen. And I hope by today's end of today's message, you'll see that that's exactly what has taken place. And when I say has taken place in the things of God, it moves into it. And with us, we're looking at maybe as it happened right now, that's it. But with God, it's a period of time. See, this year, foolish virgin, wise virgin, this has been quite a long time taking place. So let's read, starting verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So it's going to be bride people looking to be the bride, Gentile people. All right. It says, that first of all, one thing in the verse I want you to get, "then shall it be," pointing to a time. Jesus was pointing to a time that at the end time, this is the way it's going to be. He said the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this. And the kingdom of heaven is the external religious world that we can see. See, the kingdom of God's within you. It comes without observation. So the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven is two different things. In that, the kingdom of heaven is the religious sphere where certain things will be in the kingdom of heaven, not in the kingdom of God, like there'll be wheat and tare growing together and all, which would be Matthew 13:7 parables. There are certain things in church age. It's a kingdom of heaven age. It starts when the church falls away and end when this takes place right here, the marriage taking place. So I wanted to catch that. But they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They all looked alike. All right, it says, "They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them," took no extra oil with them. Other words, they, while the bridegroom tarried, they thought that this is all I need, see. But take that extra crude, which is a revelation of the Word of God, God's Spirit. All right. It says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." They had the vessel with oil and lamps. See? Amen. They just didn't have what was in their lamp. And I've saw those lamps, how they are. They're little lamps, you pour oil in them, make a light. Amen. If you, a lot of the Bible has pictures in them, you can see. And, but these wise, they said, "We don't know how long it's going to be. So we want to be sure that we got enough." Hallelujah. How a lot of people want to get in. Just one man said, "If I can just hear the doors click on my heel, I'll be happy." In other words, barely make it. And another said, "If I can just be saved by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy." Well, a lot of people want to fudge all they can, live as close to the world as they can. Amen. Still make it. I remember a story I was reading there somewhere, and this rich man, he wanted to hire a chauffeur. So he put an ad in the paper, a job available, a chauffeur. So he gave a test to the people. There's 3 showed up and applied for the job, and all of them was qualified. He said, "Now, what I want you to do over there on going up to the mansion where he lived, there was a big bluff, a big drop-off." And he said, "My test is this. I want to see how close you can get to that without falling over the edge, without getting the car over the edge." So one man, he was real good. He just put them tires right over the edge. Another man, he was almost that good. But then here comes the third man. He got plumb over to the other side of the road. He didn't want to get too close over there. You know, and so the man that had the wanted a chauffeur, he said, "You've got the job." Said, "Because you're careful, and I don't want somebody to see how close they can get to danger. I want somebody to get as far away from it as they can." Amen. And I thought that applied to Christians. Some of them want to see just how close they can get and still call themselves a Christian, see? Amen, but there's others just get over here and say, "I want to dedicate myself to God. I just want the will of God. I want to pray and I want to seek God. I want Jesus to be my Lord and I want to please Him in all things. Hallelujah. Amen. So here five of them, they just took barely enough. That's like the fellow got just as close to the edge you can get, you know. Amen. But the wise, they took an extra cruse of oil, see. Amen. They wanted to be sure. I tell you, it don't hurt a bit to have a little extra Holy Ghost. Amen. How many believe it? Amen. You say, can you do that? Well, the disciples, they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. A few days later, 5,000 received the Holy Ghost and were baptized. But then, after being out, being persecuted and come back in, they got together and they began to pray. And the Bible says the place was shaken where they were assembled. It literally began to shake. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So sometimes we need a refilling, don't we? Amen. We don't want to see how empty we can run. Amen. You'll have to get out of gas. You see how empty you can run your tank. Put some gas in that thing. Amen. All right, so here, the five wise, they took some extra oil with their lamp. Now watch, while the bridegroom tarried, he didn't come when they thought he would, they all slept and slumbered. See, that's the way it was. Everybody pretty much in the same category, sleeping and slumbering, waiting. All right, but watch now, verse 6. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now, we know what that was. Message of Brother Brown, come wake the church up and set it on fire, get it going in the right direction, see. Amen. And then it says here, all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Every one of them, the wise and foolish, you couldn't tell any difference in them. Up to this point, see. Amen. But when they began their journey, you could tell the difference. Watch what it says. The foolish looks at our lamps. We've slept so long, our lamps gone. Hey, we need some extra oil. We didn't bring any. Let us have some of yours. And the next verse says here, "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or is going out," depending on the translation. Amen. In other words, we've run out of oil. Look, our lamps are gone out. We weren't expecting this. We thought we would just sail right on in. Amen. That's a lot of time we won't keep our expectation in the Word of God. We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Word of God, walking in the light of the Word. If He comes today or if He comes 3 years from now, we still want to be walking with the Lord, don't we? Hallelujah. We don't know when He's going to come in the sense of translating us into a glorified body to take us out of here, see? Amen. We know He's coming to our heart. Hallelujah. And we know He's come back in the Spirit to bless us, to lead us and guide us. And we know that He has come in the spiritual form and we're baptized into His body and He gives us His mind. We're married to the Lord. But the literal time of Him picking us up in a rapture, we don't know. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. So I'm not going to say, I've got $500 and I know that's going to last me till the coming of the Lord. It might not, see. He might come for me before I get through preaching this sermon. I'm not expecting it. Amen. But then that's the way it goes, don't it? Praise God. So let me read on here a little bit more. The foolish, they said, our lamp, we ain't got no oil, our lamp's going out. But the wise answered saying, they said, give us your. The wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And the next verse of my text, while they were gone, we got married. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Amen. I tell you what, folks, we can't take the chance. But if you're Him, you're married to Him, you got the mind of Christ, you're going to want one thing. Amen. You want to be exactly at your spot in the body of Christ where He put you. How many knows it? And you ain't going to want to know if you hang back here a little bit. Amen. I don't want to hang back. I want to say full speed, straight ahead. Amen. Is that right? Praise God. So they went to get oil, but they took so long. Amen. And you can't get unless you're predestinated to get it anyway. How many knows it? If you're predestinated, you're going to have sense enough to have the oil to begin with. But give this parable, let us know when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a lot of good people left here that's virgins. But they're going to be lacking in oil, revelation, word. Amen. Those are the ones that will give their life for the gospel in the great tribulation period, see. Amen. They'll be killed for the word of God. They'll give their life, amen, for their testimony. Hallelujah. They'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb their testimony. Hallelujah. But we're already in Him. We're already overcomers. And we're already more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to take the first flight out, don't you? Amen. Because it's going to be the only flight out. Amen. This way. Otherwise, you go down and come up at the end of the tribulation, say. Amen. But as they that were ready went indoors shut. And then it says, afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Amen. They knew a marriage has taken. There's going to come awakening one of these days. Amen. People are going to wake up and realize, hey, we've missed it. Amen. There have been a little place at Dawsonville preaching this word, going all over the world, and we thought there was a bunch of fanatics or something. We've missed it, see? Amen. Come and say, give us some of that. Lord, Lord, they'll begin to knock. Lord, Lord, open unto us. And watch what he said. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Amen. Now, this know here, known in scriptural language, has to do with intimate relationship, like with man and wife, see? It's all the way through the word when a man married a woman and so forth. She knew him and she conceived and brought forth. It's new and know like that. So he hadn't had intimate relationship with, see. He married a wife, so he can't do it. He can't take them on now. Amen. He's already married a wife. We've got to get this while it's going. And if you are predestinated to it, you can't do nothing else but get it. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Because He's given you His mind. He's in you. You were there before the foundation of the world. And nothing else is going to sound right, feel right to you. You know this is it. Hallelujah. So the foolish virgins, they went out and trying to get it here in this church and that church and all that fooling around. Amen. But one day they woke up, hey, this thing's really the truth. But they waited too late. He's already married the bride, see. Amen. While they were gone, we got married, see. Hallelujah. And then they came back and they said, we want some of the same thing you got. Well, it's revelation. And only God gives revelation, and you can't get unless you were with Him at the beginning. What He does, He brings back that word that was allotted for you and nobody else. Amen. Let me read the next scripture because I want to go somewhere. They knocked and said, open to us. But the Lord answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Now He shows a marriage taking place. He shows a door being shut. Now the church is still here. The bride's still here. She hadn't gone anywhere yet. The door's still shut, and there's awakening. They wake up and begin to say, that's what we want. Amen. But when we look back in the Word and in history, just go back just a momentarily, and I'm not a history preacher, but see how God began to restore the church. He allotted the word for every group of people. When that time rolled around, God had a messenger there to preach that word. Then right in the middle of that, there was a midnight cry. There was a message. Brother Brown came with a message. Said, get back to the Word. Get back to what the early fathers preached. Hallelujah. Don't go back to denomination. Go back to the Word. And he said, if you're in a denomination, come out of her, my people. That was the people that rallied to it. And all over the world. I believe they told me when I was in Uganda, there was 186 churches in that area that believed in Brother Brown. Amen. Well, that's good. I'm glad. But that's only part of it. That you gotta take that and go on with it. Hallelujah. And then here come another message. Here come Brother Raymond Jackson preaching the Word of God, revealing what's going to happen to Israel. There went up people all over the world. Amen. Believing it. Amen. And right, they took another step forward, but they stopped. Amen. You can't stop. You gotta keep going with the revelation of God's Word. How many know that? Amen. Now they say there's seven men got to come and all these things that God allowed Brother Jackson to say. Amen. Because he knew there was another step to this. Hallelujah. And here we are come to the last days. Amen. Where God's revealing the last thing. Amen. And there's a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. First apostles, secondary prophets. Now, God's aim in bringing us through all these, and I could give a lot of names and places and times, but I'm sure you're not interested in a history lesson. Say, amen. But I'm going to get over into the book of Ephesians, where Paul began to speak of this marriage. Amen. And it got to come to a climax. Amen. And he said this. He said you would become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah, and he would give you his very own mind. And to do that, there's got to be a marriage. Amen. The only time the Word speaks of becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, is when there's a marriage involved. Hallelujah, there's a marriage involved, and we've been married to him. And while many out there fooling around with different things, amen, we got married and the door's being shut. Now that's not excluding individuals that God give revelation to. Everyone whose name on the book, they're going to hear that word. Amen. They're going to wake up and they're going to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to read this here. I would read a little more on it, but I've got several places to read, so I'll just get something here that I think. I'm going to pick up with verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. And it reads like this. It says, husband, love your wives. Now watch, he says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. That's what he's been doing through all these stages. Justification, sanctification, on down through. Now, when he gets sanctified, what does he do? He get it washed. And you've been washed, see. Now, what was your revelation? You know now that your righteousness mounts to one big zero when it comes to the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I preach over in Shema, what's the name of that place? Shemoya, over in Mozambique. I preach over there. We're not trying to be accepted, but we're accepted. We've been accepted of the Lord. We're not trying to be. We've already been, and because we've been accepted, we walk like we're accepted. Hallelujah. And that's the way God's people do. We keep right on acting like a child of the King because that's who we are. Amen. Not only are we the child of the great King God, amen, we're married to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've become His bride. Amen. That's what the Gentiles do. Now watch, when He gets it clean, which He has, He brought through those stages, He said, that He might present it unto Himself a glorious church, not having any spots or wrinkles, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. That's the way He sees you, holy and without blemish.
Amen.
Amen. There's not a thing against you because you're in Christ. Paul said that we've been baptized into the body of Christ. Paul said, know you not that Christ is in you except you be reprobate. Paul said you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, and He can't see you without seeing Christ first. Hallelujah, and you're in Him. Glory to God, and He stood for you. Glory to God, He took the blame upon you. Like Sister, the Pitt sister wrote the song. He put the blame, He took the blame on Himself, didn't He? Amen. I tell you, what's the name of it? Oh yes, you can put the blame on me, Jesus said. Amen. I tell you, if we get that revelation, I tell you, I don't know how in the world we're going to stay here on this old world without getting translated, raptured, or just start floating away. I don't know, see. Amen. I love this. See, washed his wife, then He took his wife unto Himself. Then He goes on, compared again with natural, so that we could be sure we know what we're talking about. He said, so ought men to love their wives even as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. See what He's talking about here, just comparing natural to get you see spiritual. And He says, for we are members of His body. Now, I want you to notice very careful the next few words, because they are very, very, very important, because it don't have to do with just our spirit. It's exclusive to our bodies, see. Amen. Because He says, for we're members of His body. Watch, of His flesh and of His bone. Amen. Now that puts it out here. We are walking around. We're walking, talking, body of Christ. Paul looked at the church and he wasn't looking at spirits. He weren't just looking at the inner man. He was looking at them, and he said, ye are the body of Christ. Amen. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah. So we're married to Him, not only in the spirit, but we act like it.
Amen.
Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your body is a temple of the Lord. And it says, He, and it means she too, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Not only are you one spirit, which is the eternal spirit, the Holy Ghost, amen, but your bone of it, he just made you. He looked at that flesh. He's going to translate this old flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many believe it? Paul said we'll be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Changed. Amen. So this old body, somebody said the old body don't matter. Well, now, we better ask him about that. Amen. Is that right? It's just like saying, you know, that car's got a good motor. Don't matter about the rest of it. Well, it could be rusting and falling apart, but just a good motor ain't going to get you there. How many will say amen? He's not only interested in the motor, he's interested in the car. He's not just interested in that inner man. He said this outer man was a temple of the... Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. How many believe He said it? That means it matters. Amen. Now watch what He says. You become bone of His bone. Now that's marriage. It took place now. Hallelujah. You're not a foolish virgin. Now, I preached the message and we got a letter over there from Africa saying something about that tape, a virgin. There's a difference between a virgin and a wife, see. Amen. A wife is not a virgin, because it takes the coming together to unite together. And that's why He's talking about here. Christ have become one with His bride. Glory to God. He sent a ministry to get her washed with the water of the Word, see. Now let's read on a little bit further here. But those words, how many catch that part? Verse 30. It says here, we are members of His body. Now watch, don't miss this, because one of the few places He brings it out with this much clarity, St. Paul does, he said, of His flesh and of His bones. How many can say that? Of His flesh and of His bones. That puts it in that natural realm. Now, does it matter how you live and what you do? It does if you're His wife. Amen. Is that right? I know you might say you're getting on old. What was that woman said, Barbara? That you started preaching that old, that old Pentecost. No, just the Word. You don't have to call this old Pentecost. Just take the Word. The Word's right. Amen. Is that right? Praise the Lord. And then the next verse says, for this cause shall a man, now this year he's putting it in the natural, let you see and get a spiritual truth. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one. I read this one time. I had a couple there get mad at me in church. Amen. Because this young man has married his wife and moved in with the parents. Amen. Didn't want to work himself, you know, and stuff. Too lazy to work and all that. And he got mad at me because he said he thought I was preaching against him. I wasn't preaching against nobody. I was reading. But I tell you, you can't beat that Word, do it. Amen. Man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I weren't talking about the natural so much, but I tell you, I think it goes good in the natural too, don't you? Somebody say amen. Don't get mad at me. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. I better leave. I better not stir that pot anymore because it's already steaming already. Amen. All right, but let's get the next one here. Amen. It says, verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery. Sure it is. Watch why he says, but. Amen. That little, they say goat's butt. Well, that they do. But that little word but means something too, don't it, if it's placed in the right place. Amen. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, joined in the Lord, spirit of spirit. Amen. That means somebody has become His bride. How many sees that? Amen. Somebody has become, he said, this is a great mystery. Yes, it's a mystery to all, but them that was there with Him before the foundation of the world, God predestinated the people to be here. Amen. They were there with Him before the foundation of the world when He explained this to them. And when they come here and hear it, it's just 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. It fit perfectly and they can't believe nothing there. Therefore, we don't have to worry about being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. The next verse, he says, I'm speaking of Christ and the church, but he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence the husband. Amen. And she will if she's a good woman, if she got a husband to reverence. Some people you can't reverence. Amen. You know, I'm going to leave. I tell you what, if I get on that, I get a lot of people, you'll get mad at me. Hey, man, you need to treat that woman, live that life, and be where that she can reverence you. She can see a man there, not some puny little nitwit that ain't worth his salt. Did I say that? I better go on if I did. I better, all right. Amen. I want to go now to Ephesians, back to Ephesians 4 just a moment. Yeah, I want to show you something. And we started this up in West Virginia, didn't get it through, but I think I even read this up there. But there's some points here I want you to notice. Now, he gives a ministry. He said he washes us by the water of the Word. See, take all the spot. That's what the fivefold ministry is for. But then when it was, he takes her unto himself. A church without spot, without wrinkle. And he said, now you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, spirit of my spirit. Now watch here. A book of Ephesians tells how the perfection's going to come. We'll start in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to just hop down to verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." Fivefold ministry. And we explained that the other week, how that worked. But I want you to watch. What is this for now? It's for the washing. It's for taking the spots and wrinkles and blemishes out of the garment. Amen. That's what the ministry does. But when it gets that done, it just don't stay there and keep on. It leads you on to the next step. Now here's the next step. It is a marriage to Christ. That's why it says here, verse 13, the fivefold ministry, it says this gonna be in place. Verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints," that's what the ministry is for. "For the edifying of perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now watch till. Now that means it come to a place, it's brought you to a place. Now what? Marry. He's going to marry her. A wedding takes place. Amen. And when it does, she can't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. You know the old serpent, before Adam and Eve come together, he could fool around and try to deceive Eve. And did a good job at it. But it was all in God's plan. But once she was united to Adam, the serpent's out of the picture. Hallelujah. When this church is united to Christ, which it is, the Bible says she can no longer be tossed to and fro. Amen. She got his mind. She got his attributes. She's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She's joined to the Lord. She has his potentials, the gifts of the Spirit, all these things. Amen. And we don't have to worry about somebody coming along deceiving us. Amen, because we're in Him, we got His mind, we were there and before the foundation of the world when He predestinated this Word for us, and when this Word come, we can't hear nothing else but this. Amen, we become His very own wife, we become the wife of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch what it says, Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's fivefold ministry brought us this far, and then the Lord marries and takes the knowledge, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Then it don't talk about the bride, talk about the man. You know why? We're so wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus, they can't see nothing but Jesus. Amen. Is that right? That's why it said, "You are my witness." Paul said, "We are ambassadors of Christ. We are in Christ's stead." Hallelujah. When he looks, he sees Jesus. When you look at me, I want to see Jesus. When I look at you, I want to see Jesus. Amen. See Christ. Amen. You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're united to him. You're not a foolish virgin. Amen. You've been married to him. While they were gone, we got married. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, they come and say, "Hey, I wouldn't mind having some of that. I wouldn't mind having the mind of Christ. I wouldn't mind having gifts of the Spirit. I wouldn't mind." Amen. Go to them that buy or sell. Amen. While they went, amen, he came and the marriage took place, went in, and they came knocking. He said, "I know you not. I've never had intimate relationship with you. I've never been one with you. That word has never become one with your soul." Hallelujah. Amen. Since the word didn't come one with your soul, I didn't come one with you. Amen. How many sees that? Amen. Praise God. Now, amen. Now notice, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the statue of the fullness of Christ. Now you don't get no further. You're here. You speak for him then. You talk for him. You walk for him. His life is lived out through you. Revelation chapter 10, amen, verse 1, the mighty angel has come down and you've been baptized into his body and you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, not only your spirit. That's what we've been dealt with up to this time. We've dealt with spirits. Hallelujah. But now he began to bring it into outer him. That when you see the church, you see Christ Jesus walking around and talking, and you as a group reach the full stature of the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. You're married to him. You're his wife. Praise God. Now notice the next, reach the statue, that's the fullness, the statue of the fullness of Christ. There's nowhere else to go. And watch what happened then. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, concrafted whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what we have been doing. That's why we were just under the fivefold ministry coming to this place. The fivefold ministry is still here, is still preaching word, but it's just become part of the whole thing. Amen. Become the Damascus part inside that body of Christ. The leadership still there, the preaching still there. Amen. Those outside the body, they can't even get to you. Something about what they say ain't going to sound just right. Amen. How many knows it? There's just going to be a little funny feeling about it if you're here. Because the Bible says you'll be no longer tossed to and fro and carried about.
Amen.
Amen. And hear what the ministry will continue to do. Amen. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. That means he give you his checkbook. That means you think like he does. You talk like he does. You speak for him. Hallelujah. He's not going to come down here in the physical to walk and talk. Amen. He's got a body here, many members body, and he's going to use that body. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why I'm saying inside the body of Christ, then every member has its place. It's not any longer the fivefold ministry. It was basically that till we came to this place. Then he lifted us up and made us the body of Christ. The whole body reached the full stature of Christ. And then we had his mind. We were married to him. We bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, no longer tossed to and fro. Amen. He put his nine gifts in you because he can trust you. You think like the Lord. You talk like the Lord. You got the wisdom of the Lord. You got the knowledge of the Lord. You got the power of the Lord. You got the discernment of the Lord. Amen. Because you're his, you're baptized into the body. And let me get another verse here. Speaking the truth in love. Amen. You're no longer tossed to and fro. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body. Now, whole body don't mean just you as members. That's the way preachers preach in days gone by. And it probably was all right because we hadn't come to that place yet. But now he says, tell you all. And all means the preachers. And every member. Amen. We all come into it. See, notice how it reads, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Not the apostle only. Or the pastor. He said, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That means building up, coming together, everybody supply the needs of the other. Now, when did this take place? What made this come to pass? Amen. God laid this out through St. Paul, and Paul, no doubt, thought it was going to take place in his day. But the church fell away, and God took what Paul said, these revelational part of his word, not the instructional part, because the instruction for that time period. He took the revelation of the word of God and sealed it away with seven seals. And it stayed preserved in heaven, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. John said, I saw one sit on the throne, amen, having the book sealed with seven seals. But he brought that down, and you can accept this, or you will accept if you're the bride. In 1963, those seven angels that was with the seven church age messengers all the way through came down and revealed the seven seals to Brother William Branham and brought that book right back down here to this earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now that book, now, what Peter said wasn't sealed up. I want you to get that because Peter was the apostle to the Jews. That part of the ministry was completed and finished. Next time the gospel go back to Israel, it's going back. There's going to be two prophets over there prophesying like they did in Bible day. Turn the water to blood, smiting the earth with plagues, amen, all those things. It won't be a gospel like go get baptized with the Jesus name and all these things like that, amen. But they'll be over there prophesying, say, God's still God. And there'll be 144,000 preachers still out, and they'll go forth to all the earth, amen, begin to preach the everlasting gospel, and it'll be fear God, give glory to Him, don't bow down to the beast. Says Catholicism has become the habitation of devils and all denominational system. The bride's being glory. Can you say amen? Amen. But watch as we get these. I'm about ready, getting about to the close. I'm going to get to Revelation 10 just a moment. Now I'm going to leave that off right there. Amen. There's two or three other places, but I'm not going to try to lay them all on you today. Amen. But I want to get here in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'm just going to read part of it because we've been over this other so many times. Amen. Where the mighty angel come down, that's the body we're to be baptized in. Then there's seven thunders, utter their voices. That's what happened in 63. And then here in the days when the seventh angel began to sound, the mystery be finished. That mystery of that church age, it was finished. And then verse 8 through 11. Hallelujah, here's a prophecy. Watch what it says. And the mighty angel, I'm in verse 8, Revelation 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth up on the sea and upon the earth. Now the hand represents the fivefold ministry, say. Amen. And here's the voice of God say, go get it now. Not only with a John typed out the bride and John was going to type out the body of Christ here. He goes to the mighty angel. Amen. The marriage has taken place here. Amen. The members and the ministry all eat the same book. They all prophesy. Amen. Here's what it said. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And I hope that's what you're saying today. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. And then John, typing out both the minister and the whole bride, says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. And that's the bride speaking for him. Amen. Amen. Not the preacher, but the bride. Ever remember, we all ate the book. Amen. What is the book? It's that word that was sealed up. It's what I've been preaching here from what Paul said that got sealed up. He brings it back and says, here it is. Go with it now. Amen. So we're eating it. We're prophesying. We're the body of Christ. And when we eat that book, hallelujah, we've been washed by the water of the Word. Amen. And then God gives it one of the revelations contained in Paul's writings was this, and I'm closing here, that He became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Amen. In other words, He took your sin and gave you His righteousness that make you as righteous as He's righteous. Amen. Because you're not relying on anything you do or don't do. You're just accepting what He did at Calvary for you and how He has cleansed you. And because of that, you will do what's right. How many knows that? Amen. And the message I was telling you about preaching over in Mozambique, I preach, you don't try to do things to get accepted. You do it because you have been accepted. And according to Ephesians 1, you were accepted before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Your name were upon the book and the Lamb were slain. God saw the Lamb slain at that time. God bless you. Hallelujah. While they were gone, we got married. So what are you? You are the wife of the Lamb. Amen. The bride. Now we could say if a wedding takes place just before the wedding takes place, the beautiful girl dressed in all, we could say, who's that? You could say, that's the bride. And immediately after the marriage, you could say, that's the bride. But once it is assured, once they come together in the way that God ordained to bring man and woman together, it ain't just the bride, it's the wife. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. His wife has made her... Oh, I better not get on that. It's all in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. But we don't want to go get on preaching longer here. But the wife, see, the wife... You can, so right in that little crossover period, you can say bride or wife. Amen. Well, as soon as you say the vows, then you can say the wife or bride. But the marriage is not consummated until a man and woman become together, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. And then it's totally wife.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're not just the bride, we're the wife. Amen. We've come to that period where with the vow, we've been washed. We know that God had a fivefold ministry and has washed us. In that fivefold ministry in existence today, and it's still doing its job.
Amen.
Amen. But then, it's your till we all come, till we reach the fullness. Amen. And the ministry is given for the washing of the water of the Word to take the wrinkles out. And then it says that He might take you unto Himself. You've been washed and you've been taken.
Amen.
Can you say amen? How was you washed? By the Word, by revelation. Amen. Rather than getting on any more of this, I'm going to just close out here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for Your revelation. And Lord, for letting us know, while they were gone, there was a marriage taking place. And there's a marriage that's complete. There's a wife. There may be other members of the wife to come in the way that God's ordained. There'll not be one left out. We know that, Lord. But I want to be right up front at the cutting edge of this thing. Lord, I just pray that You'll bless and take this word, use it for Your glory. May it go from continent to continent. May it set hearts of the bride of Jesus Christ on fire. Let them know that they're not just the bride. That's good. That's wonderful. And the bride could still be a virgin, but that wife's not a virgin. Amen. She's become one with Him. Amen. And that's who we are today. We've become one with Him. And He's given us, Lord, You've given us Your Word. Now bless us as we go forth from this place today, rejoicing in Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, do you see? There's been a ministry why God brought it that way. To get us cleansed. Get all the wrinkles out. And all those things. And now, once the wrinkles was out, once we were clean, once we were washed, He married us.
Amen.
We become bone of His bone, flesh of that's what we are today. God bless you today. Let us stand to our feet, please.